This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. The 19th century Republican leader Thaddeus Stevens said, quote, "The greatest measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy," unquote. He was speaking to his fellow Republicans. You see, Stevens led a small so-called radical faction of his party, the one demanding freedom, full equality, and the enfranchisement of American blacks. Not even Abraham Lincoln believed this. The ideas of Stevens and his GOP faction were far too radical even for the great emancipator. The runaway slave and abolitionist Frederick Douglass said of Stevens, quote, "There was in him the power of conviction, the power of will, the power of knowledge, and the power of conscious ability, qualities that at last made him more potent in Congress and in the country than even the President and the Cabinet combined," unquote. Today's establishment Republican Party, comprised of lukewarm, mealy-mouthed moderates and ineffectual conservatives, is horrified by the radical populist freedom movement now taking over their do-nothing party. Those folks known to everyone as MAGA, or the Make America Great Again movement. The mainstream media, who no one believes or listens to, is confused that racial minorities are abandoning the Democratic Party, and that the Republican Party's voting base has abandoned antique Reagan conservatism for Donald Trump's contemporary and potent MAGA populism. Newsweek's Catherine Fung reports, quote, "There has been a steady increase in the number of Democrats who see Trump in a positive light rather than as a danger to democracy who would further divide the U.S., unquote. This explains why leftist Democrats and lick-spittle-never-Trump Republicans pray our corrupt and illegitimate Justice Department puts the popular Trump in leg irons and ships him off to a nearby supermax detention center as soon as possible. Overseas, governments from London to Kiev fear a second Trump term will see America withdraw from pointless Middle Eastern conflicts and remove support for NATO's imperialist expansion into Eastern Europe, which threatens to trigger a nuclear response from Russia. MAGA, you see, threatens the corrupt status quo at home and abroad." Seeing the handwriting on the wall, a handful of pork-barrel House Republicans announced they will resign, reducing the slim GOP House majority. This, of course, means nothing. Pork-barrel Republicans always vote with Democrats on spending measures. The recent passage of the $1.2 trillion omnibus bill is proof of that. Even when they are out of power, Democrats continue to control both the government and the Republican Party. This is the status quo of American politics. This is the status quo Trump and MAGA threaten by turning the GOP into a formidable and uncompromising opposition party. The media, who initially dismissed Trump after he announced his bid for the Republican presidential nomination in 2015, are in a hair-on-fire panic now that Trump is the presumptive nominee of his party and leading the senile Joe Biden nationally and in battleground states. The media's desperation is expressed in its laughable reporting about Trump's plans to arrest his political opponents, of Trump's supposed decline in mental faculties, and in denouncing Trump voters as white neo-Nazis. In years past, these silly propaganda campaigns might have worked, but the mainstream media's former role as America's information gatekeeper is long gone. A joint Gallup Knight poll finds only 24% of Americans remain the press's gullible and trusting rubes. According to Gallup, quote, "Perceptions of political bias in news coverage have also increased, with independents driving the trend, followed by Republicans, then Democrats," unquote. In recent years, Democratic voters have become an important voting bloc in determining who becomes president. If media shrieks against Trump are louder and sound more unhinged, it's because polls indicate independent voters favor Trump over Biden by 7 points. The same voters whose distrust of the media surpasses that of both Republicans and Democrats. This explains why our so-called free press favors censorship. They say it's desperately needed to combat misinformation. As mentioned earlier, this is their desperate attempt to regain control as the nation's political and cultural gatekeepers. But the genie is never going back in the bottle. Popular free speech sites like X, formerly Twitter, will see to that. The populist movement sweeping the world has come to America, a little late, but better than never. And that movement, MAGA here in the U.S., is transforming the Republican Party from a worthless straw man into an organized and radical opposition to the Democratic Party. Of the radical Republicans of Lincoln's time, an article found in the American Battlefield Trust says, quote, they, radical Republicans, were also critical towards many policies of both President Abraham Lincoln and his successor, Andrew Johnson. Throughout the lifespan of the radical Republican faction, they made enemies with Democrats, many former slave owners, the Ku Klux Klan, and often they found opposition from the moderate Republicans, unquote. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Trump and MAGA have taken the mantle of Thaddeus Stevens to the horror of, well, just about every member of America's corrupt political, judicial, and cultural status quo. And what the Battlefield Trust says about Thaddeus Stevens can be said of Trump, that he used, quote, clear rhetoric and biting sarcasm, which would later make him an effective politician, unquote. This is why mainstream news networks refused to broadcast Trump's statements following his many decisive GOP primary victories and courthouse news conferences. The senile Joe Biden is incapable of countering Trump's biting rhetoric because, as Harper's Weekly said of Stevens, Trump's words, quote, sway men by their sledgehammer strokes. They are words of iron. Future generations cannot fail to render him the tribute which has always yielded to extraordinary forces of character. Unquote. Streaming service Netflix has proven it's not subject to the pressures of cancel culture. When its employees staged a walkout in protest of comedian Dave Chappelle's special, The Closer, in which he made light of the absurd transsexual movement, Netflix sent out an employee memo. Quote, depending on your role, read the memo, you may need to work on titles you perceive to be harmful. If you find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix may not be the best place for you, unquote. Translation, we don't work for you, you work for us. If you don't like the way we run things at Netflix, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Hollywood isn't usually that immune to outside pressure. In 2020, The Hollywood Reporter said movie studios heavily edit scripts so as not to anger the overlords who rule the world's largest movie market, China. And this brings us back to Netflix. Just like its managers refused to allow its transgender-friendly staff to dictate what it could stream over its platform, Netflix was unconcerned with what China would think of its adaptation of Liu Cixin's popular science fiction novel, The Three-Body Problem. The story isn't at all like the usual alien invasion tomes. It opens at a Beijing university in the year 1966, smack dab in the middle of China's murderous cultural revolution. Red Guard Maoist fanatics have a physics professor on his knees and humiliate him for promoting Einstein's theory of relativity. His college-age accuser tells the beaten and bloody man, quote, Einstein went to the American imperialists and helped them build the atomic bomb, unquote. The professor's terrified wife is brought on stage and condemns her husband for being a counter-revolutionary, saying Einstein's theory, quote, leaves open a place to be filled by God, unquote. And with that, the ardent atheistic Red Guard youths beat the professor to death. His daughter, Yi Wenji, watches helplessly as she stands among the approving mob, which shouts empty revolutionary slogans and triumphantly waves Mao's little red book at the lifeless victim. Spoiler alert. This opening scene is pivotal to the story because Wenji becomes a renowned Chinese physicist in her own right and is eventually conscripted into China's secret program to search for extraterrestrial life. When the radio telescope Wenji monitors detects an alien signal, the team sends a message back. But the response is jarring. The answering alien says the Earthlings are lucky he's a pacifist. Had his hostile alien companions been first to receive Earth's message, they would target our planet for conquest, though it would take 400 years to travel 4 light years to Earth. The friendly alien warns the naive Earthlings several times not to send another message. But when Wenji recalls the profound cruelty she suffered under China's communist overlords, she foolishly ascribes Mao and his ruthless Communist Party's profound evils to those of the entire world, believing Earth desperately needs a change in totalitarian masters. And so she sends another radio signal, potentially dooming humanity to unknown horrors. But if you think author Liu Cixin's novel is meant to attack the Chinese dictatorship, you'd be wrong. In an interview with the New Yorker magazine, Cixin sees the prospect of Chinese democracy and individualism as more terrible than the hidden agenda of monstrous aliens. Quote, if China were to transform into a democracy, it would be hell on earth. I would evacuate tomorrow to the United States or Europe, unquote. That's a very odd statement. If democracy could never work in China, why would Cixin seek refuge from Chinese self-determination in the democracies of the U.S. or Europe? It would make more sense for him to seek solace, like his character, Yi Wenji, in another dictatorship ruled by allegedly omniscient and omnipresent beings. Meanwhile, China's response to the Netflix adaptation of The Three-Body Problem was interesting and unexpected. It didn't attack the series for its accurate depiction of the Cultural Revolution's evils. Instead, it assailed Netflix for replacing the novel's main Chinese characters with a diverse ethnic and racial cast. A website controlled by the Chinese People's Liberation Army said of Netflix offering, quote, the United States is using political correctness to combat and dissolve other countries' cultural influence. It uses pluralism to practice its cultural hegemony. The so-called pluralism and inclusiveness cannot hide their deep-rooted discrimination and hostility toward other civilizations, unquote. On Chinese social media, meanwhile, one critic of the Netflix effort said, quote, the biggest reason the three-body problem shocked people was that it brought a different perspective from mainstream Western values. Much of the content can only be understood and interpreted under the context of Chinese culture, unquote. In other words, Chinese totalitarianism is acutely xenophobic, with ambitions to subject all those not part of their master race to its chaotic whims. But the same defect that makes the fictional aliens of the three-body problem vulnerable to Earthlings is the same that makes totalitarian China vulnerable to the West: a slowness to develop new technologies. That's why the aliens of the story employ subterfuge to impede human technological advancement. And that's why China relies heavily on industrial espionage and theft of intellectual property to keep pace with a far superior West. In short, Netflix's telling of the three-body problem is an unintended blend of science fiction and real-world fact. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.